Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Get your airplane tickets. We're heading to Russia soon for the Winter Olympics. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is September 9th, 2013, and I am glad you are here with us today and tomorrow, hopefully. We have a two-day sports article. You can find it on pages 18, 19, and 20 in your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine, and we're talking about the Winter Olympics that are coming up early next year. And they will be taking place in Russia, in a very unique place, kind of a surprise when it was announced. And the city is Sochi. It's Sochi, Russia. It's kind of a subtropical city located on the east coast of the Black Sea. And so many people were surprised when it was announced as the next location for the Olympics. And we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about some of the things to look forward to here at the Olympics, and some of the sports and also some of the individuals. Joining me here in the studio, I've got two panelists. First, off to my right, Liz Liu. Hi, Liz.
Hello, Bill. Hi, listeners. It's good to be back here on Vance.
Okay. Normally, Liz is busy with Grammar on the Go with Studio Classroom, but we actually threw a net over her and stopped her from being on the go and actually have got her to sit down in one place for a little bit of time. The reason why is Liz loves sports. She's quite a sportswoman herself, very active. Right, Liz?
Well, you flatter me, Bill. I wouldn't call myself a sports aficionado. Actually, well, thank you. But yeah. I would say that though I do like to move around and be on the go, I am not quite so familiar when it comes to winter sports.
Right. I know Liz actually spends a lot of time. She will do a lot of bicycling. Liz enjoys bicycling. You participate, in fact, in the Ijo event here in Taiwan, right?
That's right. I do enjoy participating in these events. Mm-hmm. But I am looking forward to our little discussion here about winter sports, which is something completely
different.
Whole
different game, right?
Completely different game.
Not talking about some of the other activities that you enjoy. Speaking of Winter Olympics, winter sports, are there any winter sports that you've ever really participated in?
Not really, to be honest.
Well, you spent so much time in Southern California. You were too busy going to the beach maybe, right? Roller skating.
I would say when it comes to winter sports, at best, probably watching a hockey game.
I know you like hockey.
Yes, I do enjoy watching hockey.
You're a big hockey fan. You're a fan of the Anaheim Ducks.
Yes.
So you do. I know you do go watch hockey games. So.
Yes. That's about it.
Well, Liz is here. We're gonna focus our hockey questions on her. Also in the studio, Nathaniel Dunn. Hi, Nathaniel.
Hey, Bill. Yeah, this is. There's some interesting things in this article. The Olympics are going to be happening in Russia, but it's not really a place in Russia that you would immediately think of.
No, it's not. And it's described here in the article a little bit later on as subtropical. Mm-hmm. And we're certainly, when we think of Winter Olympics, we might think of the Swiss Alps, or maybe even in the Rocky Mountains in the United States. Yeah. We're not thinking of Sochi, Russia.
Right. And usually, I would think of Russia. That might be a good place for winter sports. But, this is actually quite near Turkey.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of unexpected.
Yeah. There are certain reasons they actually picked this location. I would think of the first thing I would think of is, there is going to be colder places in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you've got almost even extremes in Russia. So while they could have found a colder place, maybe closer to the Ural Mountains in a central part of Russia, there's two problems with it. One, it's so extreme it would be too cold.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so cold. It would not only would it be too cold for the athletes, nobody would want to go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, who wants to go in minus 30
spectators,
degrees?
Yeah.
Right.
True.
So there's to be nobody would be attending these things. The other thing is just from a travel aspect, the cold locations in Russia would be so remote that it would be impossible to get to these places. You'd spend 3 days on airplanes and trains just getting there to watch a hockey game. Mm-hmm. And I know as much as Liz loves hockey, she's not going to do that.
No, sorry. Nope.
Yeah. So Russia has been aching to host the Winter Olympic Games. It just was a matter of where. Well, they did come across this location. They finally said, all right, this is the best place. So that's why we're talking about Sochi and the Winter Olympics 2014. So let's have our first reading for today. You can turn to page 18.
Winter Olympics 2014. Here's what you need to know about the 2014 Sochi Olympics. They installed the first outdoor Olympic rings in February in Sochi, Russia, a 60-by-30-foot reminder that marks a year to go before the opening of the 2014 Winter Games. The temperature was 61. That incongruity brings up the first of many questions about what to expect in Sochi. Why are they having the Winter Olympics in a place with palm trees and a subtropical climate? Russian Supremo Vladimir Putin promised an unlimited budget, and the organizers have overspent that, $51 billion at last count, $11 billion more than the unseemly Olympic record China set for the 2008 Summer Games. Russia never has had a Winter Olympics, even though it is a winter sports powerhouse.
Okay, Winter Olympics, Sochi, Winter Olympics. Why do we have Sochi.ru?
Well, I think the .ru is referring to Russia here. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about the location so far. But if you look at your layout on the next page from what the reading just was on page 19, you can get a little look at that location more specifically, too.
Yeah. Okay. And normally that might be for finding them on the internet.
And yes, on the internet
right?
as well.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to identify countries by their internet address by the country often. So now Winter Olympics 2014, here's what you need to know about the 2014 Sochi Olympics. How do we start, Liz?
Well, they begin by mentioning this first outdoor Olympic rings being installed in Russia. And it's a 60-by-30-foot reminder that marks a year to go.
All right. Now, what are the Olympic rings?
The Olympic rings, well, we all know about the five circles, and the circles are supposed to represent the continents of the world.
All right. And then I don't know if many of our listeners know this, but the colors of the ring represent each color can be found, at least one of those colors in the rings can be found in every flag of every country in the world. And they are then also interlocking to represent unity during the Olympics. So it's continents, colors, and unity. That's the whole reason behind the Olympic rings. It's not just some random collection of things that looks pretty.
No, it's not five circles all thrown together. If you look at it carefully, it's actually a chain of circles.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So a 60-by-30-foot reminder, pretty big, that marks a year to go. Before the opening of the 2014 Winter Games. Now, what was significant about this day?
Well, the temperature was 61 degrees.
Fahrenheit.
Yeah, Fahrenheit. A little warmer than you'd expect.
This was in February. And
yes.
This was in February. It's about the same time that the Olympics are going to be held.
Right.
It's 61 degrees.
It's quite comfortable, to be honest.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like something you're going to be going skiing in.
No, not even.
Yeah. Now, we talk about that in this next sentence, Nathaniel.
Yeah, it says that incongruity brings up the first of many questions about what to expect in Sochi.
Okay, we've got a couple of words in there that I want to talk about first. Liz, incongruity.
That's a great word. And if you have your magazine with you on page 20, Vocabulary Focus, the first word there, basically something that is strange, unusual.
Okay. And also, I would say maybe even stretch that to something that's like a, maybe even a paradox, two things that are completely different.
It is so strange.
Together.
Right. It is so strange that you would think that it's like opposites.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's a noun. The adjective, sometimes I actually will use to say that's incongruous as far as two things. This doesn't seem to make sense when you put these things together.
Yeah, Bill, and it's good to know both forms of the word. Incongruity is good to know, but I think incongruous, like you said, is actually more common. Two things are incongruous. I hear that more often than incongruity.
Okay. Now, what's our first question, Liz?
Well, we have here, why are they having the Winter Olympics in a place with palm trees and a subtropical climate? Palm trees, like Hawaii.
Legitimate question, right?
Absolutely. I think of pine trees for winter things. I don't think of palm trees. Christmas trees sound more like it as opposed to that, you know, beach climate.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe evergreens or something like that. Maybe let's have these things up in Oslo, Norway, or somewhere like that, Albertville, France, up in the mountains where we know it's going to be cold. So it doesn't really matter, you know, when it comes to the Summer Olympics, where they have it, right?
True.
Much easier to pick, at least the temperature-wise.
Right.
Yeah. But Winter Olympics, it's really – the thing with the Winter Olympics is even if they pick what is traditionally a cold climate, there's no guarantee it's going to be cold.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a problem getting snow and having ice at these places. Now you pick a place that is already – we've got these palm trees and subtropical. We're even complicating this matter even more. That's why there's so much question.
Right. Mm-hmm. 61 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Now, which part of our answer, Nathaniel?
Well, it says that Russian Supremo Vladimir Putin promised an unlimited budget. And then we see some figures about that. The organizers have overspent that. $51 billion was the last count, and that's $11 billion more than was used in Beijing in 2008. An unseemly amount is what this article calls that amount used in China.
Okay, first off, Supremo, is that his official title?
No. That says more about not specifically about his official position, but just the kind of person he is. He's in charge, and he has a lot of skill and power.
Okay, and there's actually almost a contradiction in this sentence where it says unlimited budget and the organizers have overspent that.
Overspent the unlimited, yes. Yeah. How do you do that?
That seems incongruous.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Good
yes.
one.
Yeah, yes. Because how can you have an unlimited budget and overspend it?
Right.
Now we see $51 billion. That's a lot of money. It's so much.
Last count.
It exceeds what they spent in Beijing.
That's right.
That's hard to believe.
I know, because in Beijing, that was already a record, as we see in line 10. It was an Olympic record. And so that was already a huge amount spent in Beijing. And now we're seeing here at Sochi that they've passed that.
Unseemly. Mm-hmm. How do we define unseemly?
Unseemly was just inappropriately.
A lot of people might have questioned why, and actually a lot of people did, like, why are they spending so much money on this? I remember back even 2005, 2006, there were questions like, what are these guys doing? They're spending a fortune on this. And every country, they've got this thing. The Olympics have evolved into this national pride thing for these countries, right?
Right. National pride, and it's also a chance for a major boost in tourism dollars, things like that.
We want to show off our city. We want to show off if one thing is the architectural ingenuity.
Right.
Right. And with that comes cost. If you're going to build these fantastic stadiums, there's a big cost with that, designing and constructing them and building all of these things. So Russia, they are spending a lot of money on this. Now, one of the reasons is right in the next sentence.
Right. They've actually never had a Winter Olympics in Russia. That is kind of surprising because the rest of the sentence says, even though Russia is a winter sports powerhouse, they usually do very well at the winter sports.
It is kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. It is. Because Russia is almost synonymous with Winter Olympics, right?
Right. When it comes to the Russian team, whenever we see some kind of an event during the Winter Olympics, the Russian team is very promising.
Yeah, it seems like they're always up there. They're always fighting for gold.
Right.
Silver, no matter what the event is.
Right. It's intimidating. It's scary.
Yeah, they're always there, skating, skiing, hockey, whatever it is on the ice, they are there. That's why we call them a powerhouse.
Right, they have a lot of energy, power, influence. Those are words we see in the definition here on in the article under specialized terms. I often think just maybe a lot of talent as well, especially in a case like this. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talent that the Russians have for winter sports.
Any reason, any guess why they haven't hosted it before?
That's a very good question. I would assume perhaps maybe economic reasons.
Economic reasons. There's a couple of things. Could be economic reasons, political reasons. The selection of the location of the Olympics is actually far more political than most people realize. And by that, I mean within the International Olympic Committee, there's a lot of lobbying amongst all the member nations. And you have to have power and influence to get selected for the Olympics.
Right. And apparently there seems to be like a checklist. You need to be able to fulfill all these requirements. You can't just say, we have snow. That's why we qualify.
Yeah. And, you know, the Winter Olympics traditionally have been in Europe. And it was a stronghold there. And they actually had most of the power in the International Olympic Committee. Then the IOC realized, hey, for our survival, we need to stretch beyond Europe. And so it's been a balancing act for them. How do we stretch beyond? How do we move to other locations around the world? How do we move to Asia?
Right.
Like they had it in Japan.
Nagano, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how do we move to maybe North America, whether it's in Calgary or Vancouver or Salt Lake City? But when you expand like that, then you take chances on the weather being one of those things.
Right.
So that's probably – and with Russia, they never really knew – they never even really knew what location. What are we going to hold it at? All right. Let's get into our second reading for today.
Won't the weather wreak havoc with skiing and sliding events? There were substantial weather issues in Vancouver, 2010, and Nagano, 1998, but the events eventually took place. The Russians are stockpiling snow. U.S. bobsled driver Steve Holcomb, reigning four-man champion, said from Sochi it was warm at the track. But it is refrigerated and covered, so there were no problems. Three-time alpine skiing medalist Julia Mancuso writes off funky conditions and postponements as part of her sport. Can the United States match its record medal haul, 37, from Vancouver 2010? It won't be easy. Vancouver essentially was a home soil Olympics for U.S. athletes. Even a 21% increase in U.S. Olympic Committee funding to the Winter Sports Federations compared to the year before 2010 won't make up for the foreign factor. At the last three winter games outside North America, the United States won 25, 13, and 13. After the great success of our team in Vancouver, it will be hard to keep pace as other countries look to improve, said Alan Ashley, USOC Chief of Sport Performance.
Okay, we did talk about location, weather being a big issue because the Winter Olympics are always really prone to whatever the weather might be at the time. And even though a place might have a great history of cold weather and snow, that's no guarantee. So that's how we start this section.
Right. We see, won't the weather wreak havoc with skiing and sliding events? Wreak havoc, I think, is a phrase that we hear every once in a while, just causing destruction and damage. So we're addressing that first here in this section.
Yeah. Okay. And how do we start this reading, Liz?
Well, they're saying this or they're asking this because some of us can remember with Vancouver 2010 and in Nagano, which was in 1998, there were weather issues.
Yeah. Okay.
But fortunately, events were able to, they were able to continue on.
Too warm. That was the problem. It was just, hey, a little too warm. What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. It's got to be around 0 degrees Celsius, right?
But at 61, which is quite comfortable, above 15 degrees.
A little bit.
Yeah, above 15 degrees centigrade. So that's far, far away from zero.
Mm-hmm. All right, what are the Russians doing to prepare?
They're stockpiling snow there. I don't know if they're bringing in barrels from around the world or what.
Just from Siberia?
Maybe.
I'm trying to figure out how they're doing that.
Yeah, it is an interesting question too.
Stockpiling means they're just piling it up somewhere, like almost
large collection.
Yeah.
Maybe not in a warehouse, but maybe on mountains somewhere.
Freezers?
They're loading up trucks and maybe
they're
getting snow from some mountains, moving it to another mountain, maybe closer to Sochi. Mm-hmm. You can imagine the cost.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But wouldn't that become ice?
Could become ice.
Yes, and that's not what you want either. You don't want ice. You want snow.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. So, well, we do hear from one of the U.S. Olympians here, bobsled driver Steve Holcomb. And what's his claim to fame?
Well, he's a reigning four-man champion of his sport, bobsledding. Mm-hmm. So he's on the top of his game, he's one of the, I guess probably one of the best people to comment, at least in his area.
Okay, and what did he say, Liz?
Well, from his experience, it was warm at the track, but the good news is it is refrigerated and covered, so there were no problems.
Okay. All right. So the bobsled, that sled, we can see a picture of one there on page 18 down there, right above the speed skater. There's looks like a two-man bobsled right there. Mm-hmm. The four-man bobsled, of course, they've got this track and they've got to go down. It's all ice and it's this winding, curving thing. Looks like a Formula One track. Mm-hmm. Four guys jump in this and they actually can hit nearly, I think it's almost 100 miles per hour flying down this track. It's very dangerous, actually. Now, he says around the track, the weather, of course, was warm, but they do have a track that's refrigerated and covered, so no problems. And I actually did check out a video on this and see that it's covered. I had never seen a covered bobsled track before.
So it's a huge, long tube.
It's open on one side.
Okay.
It's mostly covered, but they are open on one side so they can't have spectators see, on one side.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, and then we also hear from an alpine skiing medalist.
Yeah, Julia Mancuso writes off funky conditions and postponements as part of her sport. If she's writing something off, she's saying it's really not important. We can get beyond this without a problem.
And funky.
Yeah.
Funky is a great word.
What's that mean, Liz?
Funky is a very recent terminology to describe things that are not quite normal, things that are whenever we use the word interesting.
Yeah. Maybe a little strange, maybe quirky might be another word we might say. Not quite right, not quite what we expect.
Right. So, and I would say perhaps in some ways, some people may choose to view a situation in a more negative way. But if you choose to try to view your less than desirable circumstances in a more positive way, you would say funky.
Mm-hmm. Like if I had my hair colored bright blue last night, Liz might come in and say, wow, Bill, that hair looks kind of funky.
Yes, and I'm trying to be positive.
All right, next question there on our next page 19. Can the United States match its record medal haul, 37 from Vancouver? How do we answer that?
Well, very simply here, it won't be easy.
Okay. And we get into why it won't be easy.
Yeah, one reason is that Vancouver was essentially a home soil Olympics for U.S. athletes. It wasn't in the United States, but it was, very nearby, just north in Canada.
Makes a big difference. Didn't have to travel so far. Just
correct.
Right up across the border. And then we talk about some of the nitty-gritty details of this with the Olympic team.
Right. We see here on, beginning line 5, 21% increase in U.S. Olympic Committee funding. Okay, so that's a lot of money added to the Winter Sports Federation compared to the year before 2010. Won't make up for the foreign factor. So in other words, just because you add more money, just because you're able to get more funding, it's still there's still the hard reality that you have to get used to being in the foreign land.
That's right. And I'm glad Liz explained that because, yeah, you just can't throw money at the problem and expect, we're guaranteed to be successful.
Exactly. Yeah. You still have to deal with culture shock.
Right.
Things are different when you're in a different land.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
Exactly.
And the American athletes will be traveling a great distance just getting there. So then doing well will be another question. So, and in fact, if we look past Vancouver to previous winter games, we find out that they did struggle.
Right, yeah. A couple Olympics ago, I think actually three Olympics ago, Winter Olympics, they got 13 medals, and after that they got 13 again, and then they won 25 before the Vancouver Olympics where they won 37. So we see that they're on the increase.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So they've been working on improving their performance in the ones far away from the United States, and they actually did struggle. For instance, in Nagano was one of the Olympics that we did talk about. Albertville in France was another one. They really struggled getting 13 and 13. Mm-hmm. Now, this last section for today, we hear from Alan Ashley. And what does he say?
Well, basically, they know that what happened in Vancouver was a great success. They're pleased with the 37 medals they got, but they know that it will be hard to keep pace or to be able to follow that record because they're going to be in a foreign land.
Yeah. Okay. So expectations are up high. You know, people are always like, oh, well, you did so well before. And fans, followers are pretty demanding. You know, once you taste success, they want it again and again, right?
True. Plus, we have to remember other countries are also improving.
Everybody is spending more money, putting more effort into all of this. So, no, it will not be easy. Okay, listeners, thanks for joining us today for our first day of this article about Sochi, the Winter Olympics in 2014. Come on back tomorrow. We'll see you then.